Okay. The agency for the agenda for this event arrived in my inbox a week ago when I noticed my name beside an item entitled Why We Became a Separate Independent Commission and Why We Should Be Partnering with Consumers. I knew I couldn't address that title. Why? Because I don't currently work for the commission and didn't at the time of its inception. So I don't represent that we. I don't believe this is quibbling over language. I think it is clarifying roles. Hoping both to be considerate of the intent of the agenda drafters and to be authentic in my perspective, I've modified the item to read, Why We Created a Separate Independent Commission for the Blind and Why NCBVI Should Be Partnering with Consumers. As a lifelong blind Nebraskan, my personal relationship with the state agency for the blind here has been a long and winding road, intertwined with that of others, some of whom were more pivotal in bringing what we are celebrating here today into fruition than was I. I think my journey can illustrate, though, why we brought this commission into being and why it does well to partner with those it serves. My first connection occurred over half a century ago when I wanted to go to college at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Upon graduation from high school, from the School for the Blind. Several of us, including my sister Lauren, just a year older than I, attended there at the same time. We sometimes found ourselves at odds with agency personnel about policies regarding our education. One such issue concerned the payment of readers, people we hired, mostly students, to read and or describe materials not available in Braille or other accessible formats. The agency helped with this using a sliding scale. Because seniors made more per hour than freshmen, we were encouraged to hire freshmen. We often found ourselves negotiating about time, money, and our education. We argued that hiring someone who could deal efficiently with materials, sometimes taking fewer hours at a higher rate, not only could save the agency money, short term, but also could truly assist us in getting an education worthy of the expense. Shortly after graduating from college, having applied to and been rejected for several teaching positions, I agreed to work on contract for the agency. I was naive when I moved from contract status to full time, accepting that the reason I was making less was that there wasn't an opening for what I was specifically doing. When a sighted person was hired to do the same thing I was for more money, I started to realize that perhaps what blind folks I thought were exaggerating were saying about discrimination based on blindness was true. The day the director called me in, asked me to braille something for him and read it back, and said in amazement, "That's exactly what I told you to write," was the day I began in earnest to rethink what I was doing there. Then the directorship of the agency changed in May of 1974 because the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, the very group I had been led to mistrust throughout high school and beyond, made it happen. And I was unsure what to think. Dr. Nyman, the new director, was blind. He invited us to choose an agency to visit and bring back a report. I chose the Iowa Commission for the Blind, then run by Kenneth Jernigan, president of the NFB. In a meeting with Dr. Jernigan before leaving Iowa, I expressed to him how impressed I was with what was happening there and contrasted it with what I thought was happening here. After a brief silence, he asked me, "And what are you doing about that?" Embarrassed, but also energized, I realized it was time for me to engage. I returned to Nebraska determined to help to strengthen our affiliate of the NFB and to make changes in how our Agency for the Blind operated. The blind director at the helm was willing to allow us to spread our wings. So we started with an orientation center modeled after the one in Iowa. When we asked that field staff work with people towards spending months with us, some balked, saying, "I'll bring them, but it's your job to get them to stay." Young and inexperienced though we were, we did convince some to stay, and over time, some of them became advocates for the changes. Although I resigned my position as supervisor of the Orientation Center in 1981 to raise my family, I continued to advocate for change for the agency through the NFB. Recognizing that the agency, then under the Department of Public Institutions, DPI, was restricted by policies created for agencies ranging from mental health to corrections, none of which aligned with what made sense for blind adults, we, the Organized Blind, began to work toward getting out from under that umbrella. This took a quarter of a century to accomplish and involved several starts and stops as we learned the nuts and bolts of the legislative process, who we could trust and who we couldn't, when to wait and when to push, etc. In the 1990s, consolidation, housing various entities under one roof so you can share everything from the building itself to the business office, and economy of scale, buying each item for less by buying them in bulk, were the order of the day. Despite our best efforts, the agency was swallowed by the Health and Human Services system through what was called the Nebraska Partnership for Health and Human Services Act in 1996. Among other things, it ceased to have a dedicated business office, and many things were carried out using what was called soft money, which is, among other things, harder to trace and sometimes non-transferable. That became relevant when our efforts at last succeeded in 2000 and the agency became separate, freestanding, and led by a 5-member commission board answerable directly to the governor. When that resulted in the loss of a considerable amount of what should have been transferred money, some despaired and thought we had made a mistake. Most rebounded, though, when the commission was able to begin leveraging more money for blind people than was possible under any of the previous options. When the unicameral was considering placing a sunset clause on the bill that created NCBVI, that is, limiting the scope of the commission's life to a specified time frame after which it would die unless it met specific criteria, State Senator Ernie Chambers said, in part, "When you have a group who've had to struggle for so many years to even get a bill in this position before us, to be told now, after all of that struggle, well, yes, we think that you ought to regulate a commission that is going to look after your interests, but we don't trust you. So we're going to let you move forward, but we're going to keep you on a short leash." I don't think that's appropriate. And I don't think, when an operation of this kind is just starting out, that they should be under the pressure of feeling that they're going to have to satisfy a group of politicians in order to maintain themselves in existence. Mr. President, members of the legislature, I cannot thunder like the old prophet who said it, but he said, "Oh, that my head were water and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for my people." Were I blind, that's what I would be saying. Hit me again, and I'll get up. I know I'm flat on my belly. I know society sees me as something strange. I cannot see them avert their eyes, but I sense their uncomfortableness when I come around. So in order to get you to give me a chance to not creep and crawl on all fours when I also have 2 feet like you, I'll tell you what. I am so desirous of getting out of this creeping position, so desirous of standing on my feet like a human being, I will let you put an additional stone on me to give me that chance. So put a sunset on it. It's insulting, it's demeaning, but we've always been left on the outside. If the only way we have a chance to approach the door and have a possibility of entering it, hit me again, harder, harder, but don't take away the chance. We ought to give these people a chance. And it should not always be, we're giving you a chance, but you're as good as I am, except I think you're worthy of this. However, every condition that we impose, every qualification that we add, if we were to examine them, we see that each one diminishes the personhood and value of these individuals as human beings. It's not too much to let the blind lead the sighted when we're dealing with the issues that relate to the blind. We couldn't have said it better ourselves. And our commission bill passed without a sunset clause. So why should NCBVI partner with blind consumers? The short answer, and that's really all I have time for here, is that we are living the experience of blindness in our society, that we can hold the agency accountable in responding to that lived experience, and we can advocate for changes through laws and other avenues that may either be or be seen as conflicts of interest for those working for a government entity. We helped to cement this partnership by having the law creating the commission state that there would be a designee of 2 specific consumer organizations among the 5 people to be appointed to its board of commissioners. The National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska chose me to be its first designee, and I chaired the board from its inception until term limits ended my service in 2007. Bill Arrester served as the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska's first designee for that same period. Initially, in order to lay the foundation for the new agency, we evaluated the executive director on the following criteria, spelling the word blind. 1, believing that it is respectable to be blind. 2, listening and responding to concerns from staff and consumers alike. 3, identifying priorities and seeing them through. 4, negotiating creatively to hire quality staff and fund exemplary service delivery. 5, dreaming progressive steps toward true equality for the blind. Although subsequent commission boards have adopted different evaluation tools, these expectations continue to live on in the mission statement the agency adopted in 2003. Empowering blind individuals, promoting opportunities, and building belief in the blind. Shortly after NCBVI came into being, a group of consumers worked with community leaders to form Friends of the Commission, a nonprofit organization created to enhance the Commission's work by providing funds for items and projects that benefit blind people but fall outside the agency's purview as prescribed by state and federal laws. I have served on the Friends Board since 2014. On September 22, 2000, Governor Mike Johanns, who had signed the law creating the commission on April 10th of that year, came to the center for a tour and to address the Board of Commissioners. He said, in part, "I think one of the roles of Nebraska state government, probably government in general, is to make sure that we create the climate for individuals to achieve their maximum potential. I must admit, when I looked at the commission bill, one of the things I wanted to figure out was, would it help? It's always a question of priorities. But I decided that the commission was a priority. Now, having said that, I will applaud you for being willing not only to educate me about the need for that, but to educate state senators. These things do not happen accidentally. They happen because people get engaged in the process and make the case that it's important. My hope is that this will create a new relationship between the blind community and the state of Nebraska, and a new generation of people who are achieving their maximum potential. Because after all, that is what this is all about. Yes, it is. And here we are, 20 years later, bearing the fruit of that labor. There have been ups and downs, but this work in progress is weathering even this current COVID-19 pandemic. We, both engaged consumers and dedicated staff, have every reason to celebrate today. We worked together to create a unique, consumer-driven agency within state government and have sustained it for a fifth of a century so far. Why did we create the commission, and why should it partner with consumers? Because it's a win-win way to empower blind individuals, promote opportunities, and build belief in the blind.
And that woman right there, before Fred Schroeder, before Pearl Van Damme, before James Nyman, she was here at the very beginning and participated in all of it. Sometimes playing a bigger role, sometimes a smaller role, but always present and always helping to move the ball forward.
And that man over there is Barbara's husband. he forgot to say that. He never let it go. You know, when Barbara was reading and quoted Senator Chambers, she reminded us that Senator Chambers said that he couldn't thunder like the prophet. But I think Barbara did, though.
She might not make the sound of thunder, but she better powerful.
But you do what she tells you to do, I'm sure. Thank you, Barbara, for reminding us and for empowering and just reminding us that we need to continue working together. Like I mentioned earlier, power without wisdom and love is a waste of energy. Barbara here has that wisdom, that love, that energy, and that passion. And we are thankful to have her to be one of us. So with us, with that, we are going to now ask our current chair of the commission board, Mr. Mark Bolger. Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready. Okay. All right, can everybody hear me? Well, it's such a pleasure to be here today. What I like most about being a commissioner and the chair is I get a